From WCAI in Woods Hole and WGBH Radio Boston, this is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. Alzheimer's disease affects at least 5.5 million people in the United States. One of the challenges in trying to treat the disease is catching it early enough. There's currently no reliable way to diagnose Alzheimer's until symptoms like memory loss are already recognizable. And by that time, the brain has suffered years, if not decades, worth of damage. That's likely why many promising drug trials in recent years have failed. Now, new research could lead to a test capable of diagnosing Alzheimer's years before there are any symptoms. Researchers from Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis say they can use a combination of a blood test, a genetic test, and a patient's age to predict with 94% accuracy whether or not a person will develop Alzheimer's. Suzanne Schindler is an assistant professor of neurology at Washington University in St. Louis and lead author on that new study. Suzanne, welcome to Living Lab Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start with this blood test that you've been working with. You're not the only one trying to develop a blood test for Alzheimer's. That's kind of been a holy grail of Alzheimer's research in recent years. And you test for one of two really well-known proteins involved in Alzheimer's. You're looking at amyloid beta. So what is new or different about the blood test that you've been working with?
So we look at two forms of amyloid beta. So we look at one form that's 40 amino acids long and one that's slightly longer, 42 amino acids. But what we found is that the ratio of those two proteins is very accurate in predicting whether someone has early Alzheimer's disease brain changes.
So how do you even test something like that and come to the conclusion that it is indeed an accurate test? How long do you have to follow patients to determine whether or not your diagnosis was in fact correct and these people do in fact develop Alzheimer's disease?
That's a little complicated. So what we used as our gold standard in this case was actually not whether someone had clinical symptoms. So what we used is what is very well established in the field as a marker of Alzheimer's brain changes, and that's a special brain scan called amyloid PET. What our study did is it looked to see whether our test predicted the results of this amyloid PET scan. And what we found, which was interesting, is that our blood test, we could see that it became positive before the threshold that we typically use for this amyloid PET scan became positive. So the blood test was very sensitive to these early brain changes.
And how accurate was that blood test alone? Because, as I said, others have been working on blood tests to detect early Alzheimer's and have been somewhere in the range of maybe 85-90% accuracy. How good could you get with the blood test alone?
So it was 88%. And when we added these additional factors, whether or not you have this version of the gene, ApoE epsilon 4 or not, as well as age, then we could get to 94%.
Suzanne Schindler, when you do this combined test, the genetic test and the amyloid beta ratio test, do we understand biologically why those two factors together would be such a strong indicator of whether or not a person will develop Alzheimer's?
So we know that that blood test is very accurate in predicting whether someone has these amyloid plaques in their brain, as shown by this test. What a future study needs to be done, and we're working on doing this, is actually showing the connection between these plaques in the brain and clinical symptoms. We know that there's a very strong risk associated with having high levels of amyloid plaque, but we're still figuring out the factors that modify whether or not you have clinical symptoms as a function of the amount of amyloid plaque in your brain. So it's actually a little bit complex. So this test is really for the amyloid brain changes, not for clinical symptoms of Alzheimer's disease.
Suzanne Schindler, you've said that this test, when you put together the amyloid beta blood test, the ApoE gene test, and the age factor, that you get 94% accuracy in predicting, as you said, the brain changes, not necessarily symptomatic Alzheimer's, but the brain changes that might lead to Alzheimer's disease. what does 94% accuracy actually mean? I mean, how often would this test miss a case of Alzheimer's, and how often might this test generate a false positive and predict that someone would get Alzheimer's when in fact they don't?
Well, the 94% that we're saying is actually based on a certain statistical measure. There's actually quite a few other statistical measures of accuracy. Accuracy is a pretty complex study to figure out how accurate an assay is. It really depends on where you draw your cutoffs. So, for example, if I draw a low cutoff, then everyone above that cutoff is positive, we can make the test very sensitive. So we're not going to miss very many people. If, on the other hand, we have a high bar, so we say that you have to have a very abnormal test result, then we may not have quite so many false positives, but then we have a false negatives. The reason that we've used this 94% measure, it's called a receiver operating characteristic area under the curve.
A little bit of a mouthful.
Yeah. It actually looks at all potential cutoffs. So if you look at all potential cutoffs, how good is that test? So it's kind of a little bit of an agnostic measure, which is why I like it. In other words, we're not arbitrarily drawing a line here so that we get the results that we want. So that's why we're using that particular measure in terms of accuracy. And again, something that was interesting in this study is that we found that if you have this gene form, APOE epsilon 4, and also depending on your age, the cut points are essentially different. And so it may not be that you can use the same cutoff for the test for everyone, but what really adds to the accuracy of the test is you are essentially making different cutoffs for people in different categories. And I think something that's going to be really important going forward is I think it's likely that there are additional factors that affect where you should draw those cutoffs. We did find a little evidence that sex plays a role, so that males and females may actually have slightly different levels. In our sample, this didn't quite improve the accuracy significantly if we included sex, but I think that if we run this in a larger group of people, we may see an effect.
How do you imagine something like this test being incorporated into a clinical setting, and how long do you think that would take? I mean, given all of these complexities, it sounds like there's a lot still to work out.
What we are primarily interested in using the test for in the very near future, in the next year or two, is to help us screen people for clinical trials for drugs for Alzheimer's disease. A lot of the drug trials that have been done so far have used patients who have significant symptoms and are pretty far along in the course of the disease, and it's much harder to reverse a disease than to prevent it. So we really need to find a way to figure out who's at risk and enroll them in studies before they even have symptoms. And we have this amyloid PET scan, which has actually been used for clinical prevention trials, but it's very expensive. It's about $4,000 or $5,000, requires a lot of coordination to set up all of these scans, interpret the results. And the drug trials that have used it have been very expensive and taken a lot of time to enroll patients. So we think that by using this blood test that we could recruit people much more quickly and much faster, and that would really translate to Alzheimer's disease drug trials being cheaper and faster. And hopefully that will mean that we can find a drug that works faster.
Do you think that actually using a test like this that detects potential early changes related to Alzheimer's disease even earlier than the scan does could actually change the result of previous drug trials? I mean, if we were to go back and try those drugs again with patients whose potential Alzheimer's is found earlier, could those drugs perhaps be effective when they weren't before?
So I don't know, but my guess is I think it's quite possible that some of these drugs that were tested and failed simply because we tested on people who were too far along in the course of the disease. So yes, I actually think it's quite possible that we may have tested drugs that would have worked had we tried them earlier in the course of the disease. Now, I don't know whether drug companies are going to want to make another big investment on these drugs that haven't previously worked in trials. But I think that part of developing a drug is understanding the biology of the disease and finding a drug that affects that biology. But part of it is really treating the disease at the right time. And that's something that we've come to appreciate more and more. And I think that this blood test is really going to be a game changer in terms of letting us treat the disease before people get symptoms. Now, I'm a clinician, I'm a neurologist, and I see patients with dementia. And one thing in the clinic is that many of the patients who come to see me, it's not totally clear what is causing their symptoms. So I think that in the clinic, this test would be very helpful. I don't think it's quite there yet, but I don't think it's that far off. I think that within maybe 3 to 5 years that this sort of test could be available for clinical use. The idea of using a test like this in someone who doesn't have clinical symptoms is something that's quite a bit further off for a variety of reasons. One of those is we don't have effective treatments right now. So if we test someone and they're positive and they don't have clinical symptoms, there's not necessarily a lot they can do about it. And so we don't do any of these advanced diagnostic procedures right now on patients who don't have significant symptoms. But I think that would absolutely change if we get a drug that works. So I'm hoping that 5-10 years from now, we find a drug that is effective at preventing or delaying the onset of Alzheimer's disease symptoms caused by these Alzheimer's disease brain changes, and that you can go to your doctor and get a test like this as part of your regular annual exam, and they can say, oh, it looks like your test is abnormal. You need to start on this drug. Just like you're started on a drug for your high cholesterol or your borderline diabetes, and then you never develop Alzheimer's disease. So that's the dream. I think we're still a ways off from that. But I think these are the sorts of questions and goals that are now seeming much more realistic than they were even a few years ago.
Suzanne Schindler is an assistant professor of neurology at Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis and lead author on a new study showing that a combination of a blood test, a genetic test, and age can be highly effective for early diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease. Suzanne, thanks so much for talking with us.
You're very welcome.